Thanks for joining us. I'm Diane Rehm. Don't let the bed bugs bite used to be a quaint saying from a bygone era, but no longer. Bed bugs are back. Joining me in the studio to talk about the bed bug resurgence, Dr. Deanie Miller of Virginia Tech and Dr. Paula Borelli of Georgetown University. Joining us from an NPR studio in New York, Missy Hendrickson of the National Pest Management Association. And throughout the hour, I would guess that we may hear from some of you who've had the unfortunate experience of encountering bed bugs, whether in a hotel, in an apartment building, or in your own home. Do join us, 800-433-8850. Send us your email to drshow@wamu.org. Join us on Facebook or send us a tweet. Good morning to all of you.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Missy Hendrickson, if I could start with you, how much of a problem do we have with bed bugs these days and why?
Well, it's a big problem. We have just recently conducted a survey with the University of Kentucky, and we provided validation to what we'd been hearing anecdotally. Bed bugs are here in a big way. Several years ago, a few of our professionals would get a call or two every year. Based on the survey we just completed, 95% of professionals in the United States reported treating bed bug infestations over the past year. And really, Diane, that number continues across the world. 92% treated them in Europe and 98% in Canada. So they are here, and we're really saying it's a pandemic at this point.
And the reason here in this country, where do we find them the most frequently?
Unfortunately, we find them all over the place. The most frequent problems with infestations are in the more highly populated areas. Bed bugs need to be where humans are for their survival. So we're certainly hearing a lot about New York City and the problems that Manhattan is having, but certainly many other big cities around the country as well. Baltimore, Cincinnati, Los Angeles, really just a lot of different cities are experiencing their problems, and small towns alike as well.
And where do you find them? What are the most typical locations?
Well, the biggest areas that our professionals report for treating, single-family homes, apartments and condominiums, are some of the areas where we're seeing the most, and hotels, of course, as well. Now we're starting to see them in some atypical locations as well. We're hearing more reports about them being in office buildings, in movie theaters, in schools. So really, again, where people are, that's where we're going to find the bed bugs as well.
Now, I have heard that some very high-profile retailers had to close temporarily because of bed bug infestations. Talk about those and how they seem to be getting into stores.
Well, Diane, bed bugs we like to refer to as the hitchhiking pest. So if someone has a bed bug infestation within their home or with their apartment, those bed bugs can latch on, so to speak, to anything they may be taking out of their apartment or their home with them. So their gym bags that go into the office, or their purse, their clothing, some of those bed bugs will hitchhike with those individuals, and they'll just go about the course of their daily activities. So as they are going into retail stores, a good chance they're bringing them in, or also from the warehousing facility of the clothes before they get into the retail locations. So a variety of different ways they could be coming into the stores.
Missy Hendrickson, she's Vice President for Public Affairs at the National Pest Management Association. Turning to you, Dr. Deanie Miller, bed bugs were a problem decades ago. What is it that's accounting for their resurgence?
Well, there's a number of reasons, I think, that are contributing. First of all, most people will talk about international travel, that we have people that are going from one country to another pretty easily. From here, if we wanted to go to the opposite side of the earth, would we be like Kuala Lumpur? It'd take us about 48 hours to get there, and anything that we were bringing or bringing back would come with us. But I would say that's not the ultimate cause. Is what's causing these bedbugs to be so populous? Why are these populations exploding? And I think there's a number of reasons for that, too. The first one, probably the most influential, is that while we didn't have bedbugs here in the United States for about 50 years, other nations still had bedbugs. And those people weren't just putting up with being bitten every night. They were using all of the insecticides and chemistry that they had available to them on these bedbugs. And consequently, we're ending up with populations that are highly resistant to insecticides. And if we're not able to kill them, that gives them the opportunity to explode. The populations are exploding and just moving out into other areas. But from a biological standpoint, it's even more interesting to me that this is sort of a predator-prey relationship. Usually we see predators, and that would be the bedbug in this case, increase if there's a lot of prey to feed on, and that would be us. Certainly there's a lot more people on the planet than there was 100 years ago, so we may be reaching some sort of threshold that the bedbug populations now are just getting so large that we're starting to see them spread all over the world.
Is there any connection between the change in climate, the change in temperature, and the growth of the bedbug population?
I think there's some people who would like to make that connection, but it's very difficult. You got to think that how much would bedbugs, which typically live indoors or wherever humans live, actually be affected by climate change, that this would make a difference in their population distribution? I would say more reasonably, and from a biological standpoint, because we have so many more people, that's when we see the population explosion of the predator. And so we would have to say, well, there's a lot more people now. That we have data to support, but we really don't have any data to support that climate change has anything to do with this indoor pest.
Deanie Miller, she's Associate Professor of Urban Pest Management in the Department of Entomology at Virginia Tech. Do join us, 800-433-8850. Turning to you now, Dr. Paula Borelli, how dangerous are bedbugs from a health perspective?
Well, most of the manifestations that one would see if a person was bitten by a bedbug is really a bug bite. And there's no great harm in that bug bite to the average person. Certainly, there's some people who are going to be more sensitive, and so the rash may be more severe in those persons who are more sensitive. But by and large, you're not going to see human illness being transmitted as a result of a bedbug bite.
Does it itch?
For most people. Most people, meaning about 70% of the population, is going to be sensitive to it. The other 30% may not have much reaction at all, which can make it difficult for those people to detect a problem in their homes.
So what are these bugs feeding on?
They're feeding on the blood of the human. And it's a protein in their saliva that actually makes most people react. And again, depending on your own immunity and how sensitive you are, you may react in a very brisk way or you may not react very much at all.
If there is one bed bug, are there likely to be many?
I would say that's probably true of most arthropods, that they rarely are acting alone. And certainly if detection is a problem, which can be in most cases because people aren't knowing where to look or knowing what to look for, a delay in detection is going to allow dissemination to be widespread.
What did they look like, Dr. Miller?
Well, the adults are pretty easy to see, and a lot of times people think that they're microscopic, but they're not. They're about the size of an apple seed. They're reddish-brown in color. They can move pretty fast, you can definitely see them move. The immature stages are much more difficult to see, especially those that are right out of the egg. They're very tiny. If you can imagine like a comma that would be printed in a paperback book. They're about that size. They're translucent, so the color makes them difficult to see unless they're moving. And I know if I'm looking at wallpaper that might have some of these very young bedbugs on there, I really don't see it until I disturb it and they start walking around. But the adults, you can clearly see.
Well, considering that, Missy Henderson, how do you deal with an infestation? Because presumably, you're looking at infants as well as full-grown insects.
And each different stage of the life cycle can involve a different type of treatment. Really, with bed bugs, the most effective and essential way for properly eliminating them is to contact a trained and licensed professional. Our industry, in the survey that we recently completed, asked professionals about the difficulty of various pests in eliminating them. And bed bugs were identified as the single most difficult and challenging pest to properly eliminate, more so than termites, ants, rodents, some of the things that many of us think are pretty difficult themselves. But among our industry professionals, bed bugs topped the list.
How does somebody confirm that they have, in fact, got bed bugs, Dr. Borelli?
Well, I think there are a couple of ways. When we look at them in dermatology clinically, the exam might be suggestive. Bed bugs tend to bite in a row of threes. We call that breakfast, lunch, and dinner. That's not for all people. And depending on their level of sensitivity, sometimes they may have widespread rash as a result of just a few bites. What's most important is if you couple that clinical exam with some environmental cues, looking in the seams of the mattress, in the crevice of furniture, looking in cracks in the walls, if you're able to identify any component of the bed bug, be that the actual bug or the feces of the bug, if you can bring that into someone who's knowledgeable and knows what to look for, you can help come to that conclusion.
But how do you, as a dermatologist, tell the difference between a bed bug bite and a mosquito bite?
Oftentimes you don't.
So you don't.
If the patient is aware of what to look for, then you can ask them, can you bring something in so that we can also look at it and determine whether or not. In other words, the breakfast, lunch, and dinner presentation is not exclusive to bed bugs, although that's pretty typical.
Dr. Paula Borelli, she is assistant clinical professor of dermatology at Georgetown University. She's in private practice in Olney, Maryland. We're going to take a short break, then your calls. Perhaps many of you have already turned off the radio because you don't want to hear about bed bugs, but I assure you, they have become a problem, not only in this country, but all over the world. Here in this country, in part, they are certainly in highly populated areas like New York. So they're in hotels, they're in apartments, they're even in highly visited retail stores. Now, we have an email from someone who identifies him or herself as sleepless in Cincinnati. She says, I think, my life is ruination due to this pestilence. I've been enduring bed bugs for several months. I have allowed clutter to accumulate over the years in my apartment. Neighbors in my building were infested by bed bugs, and they migrated to me. I got a chance to take some free classes to help me qualify for a union apprenticeship in the building trades. It was all I could do to get myself to classes on time because the bugs don't let me sleep at night. I've been told if I could heat my apartment to 140 degrees Fahrenheit might burn the place down for a few days. That this would take care of the problem. What is the recommended heat source and how might one accomplish this safely? Dr. Miller.
Well, first of all, let me say this story is fairly common. A lot of people have been infested, and especially multi-unit housing is like one of our major challenges because we can have bedbugs that will move from one apartment unit to another. People have a ton of stuff, and bedbugs like to hide in cracks and crevices, so the more cracks and crevices you have, the better it is for the bedbugs, and much more difficult to get in there and find every single one of them to get rid of them. Regarding the heat treatment, this is a newer treatment and certainly has been very effective. You have to get a trained company that uses one of these heating systems. There's two of them out there. You can look them up on the internet. One is ThermaPure. The other one is TempAir. And you can find pest control companies that actually use these types of machines to come in, superheat the apartment. 140 degrees, the thermal death point for bedbugs is between about 113 and 115. And they will come and heat up everything in the apartment using these heaters that will create positive pressure inside the room. And that forces the heat into all of the cracks and crevices. There's a whole bunch of monitors and sensors that they have out that record on a computer so that you can make sure the space between two mattresses actually hits the temperature, the lethal temperature.
Wow.
And you can eradicate bed bugs that way. It's fairly effective, about 98, 99%. Some building construction does have cold spots, so we do recommend a pesticide application after the heat treatment is completed.
However, if you were living in an apartment building and you simply have your apartment heat treated, aren't those bed bugs going to migrate somewhere else?
Well, typically what happens with the heat treatment, first the bed bugs are supposedly attracted to the heater.
Oh, okay? I see.
And then as they come out, then they are hit by the superheat, and you can see them drop pretty fast. And let me just say, Virginia Tech purchased this system to use in dorm rooms, and they were very forward in their thinking. We have to thank Tim Gift, who is our facilities manager, for that, because he was having students come back from spring break, and it was just one bed bug infestation after another. They purchased the system, and it's been very effective for us.
I see. But it's treated the whole dormitory.
Well, this is treating individual rooms at a time.
And
so you're trying to hit the bed bugs with the heat fast enough that they wouldn't migrate away. And if your neighbor's still has bed bugs, you would also need to do your neighbor's home as well.
All right, and we're joined now by phone by Joseph McInerney from the American Hotel and Lodging Association. Good morning to you, sir.
Good morning, Diane.
Joe, I gather this is a serious problem that hotels have to take seriously.
Yeah, yes, it is. It's because it affects our guests, and it also affects the hotel's reputation. So it's very important to us for the hotel industry to make sure that if they know that there is bed bugs in a room, that they eradicate them as soon as possible.
Now, are we talking about hotels which might range from the Waldorf Astoria, the Pierre in New York, down to the lowest level of hotel?
Yes, bed bugs are, don't discriminate. the important things about bed bugs are, you don't grow them. Somebody brings them in. And they can come in very different ways. They can come in through, your luggage or your clothing, through stuffed animals that the children have. It's something that, 5 years ago, if we had this conversation, we would say, this is not a problem. But today, we have seen, just because of the influx of travel, and also not using some of the pesticides that we used, 20 years ago.
Now, have you ever seen anything like this before? I know you've worked in the hotel industry for decades. Is this brand new to you?
Well, yeah, I've been in the hotel industry for almost 50 years, so You know, back a long time ago, we used to see bed bugs, and then we were able to eradicate them through, you know, use of chemicals. Then all of a sudden, this is a phenomena that has happened really over the last 5 to 7 years.
Why do you think that is? Do you think it is because more and more people are traveling?
Well, definitely. More people are traveling. There are, you know, coming from a lot of different destinations. And also that, you know, especially a lot more international travelers coming into the United States from areas that didn't come here before.
People can check particular websites that report hotels with bed bug infestations, but don't most hotels now have them?
Well, no, I don't think most hotels have them. I mean, let's take a look at, you know, there's roughly 4.5 million hotel rooms, and, you know, we're running about, say, 60% occupancy, and that would give you about 2.7 million people or rooms are being used, you know, every night, and about 30% of the rooms are double occupancy. So you've got about 3.3 million people that are, you know, staying in a hotel every night. And the number of people that are being bitten by bed bugs is minuscule in comparison. Unfortunately, you know, to the person that it's happening to, it's a major calamity. But in reality, the number of people that are staying in hotels is you know, roughly 3 million people, and in that way, very few people are getting bed bugs because cleanliness is the number one thing that people are looking for in hotels. They're looking for, you know, 8 hours of sleep and in a good, clean room and a comfortable bed.
What about this bedbugregistry.com? Are people going to that?
Well, I don't know if they are or not. I mean, it has come up. We've talked about it on different interviews that I've given, and it's a good place for people to take a look at, you know, properties that they might be going to see if there is, you know, bed bugs at that property or if there have been. Because the important thing is if somebody is bitten by a bed bug, they should, one, notify management right away because management then needs to address the situation, and I have yet to hear this of a place that did not address it, because again, it goes right back to it's affecting the guest, it's affecting the hotel's reputation. The last thing you want is a disgruntled guest leaving the hotel, going out and telling their 10 best friends.
Yeah, you bet.
10 who tell, and all of a sudden 1,000 people have had this problem.
Yeah. Now, I know you're joining us from British Columbia. Has British Columbia had the same measure of infestation as, say, hotels in New York City?
I don't know. I'm just having to be here on vacation.
Okay. All right.
I'm in vacationing in Victoria, British Columbia, and have had a great stay, so I don't know.
It's a gorgeous place. Yeah, I've been there myself.
It really is, and the hotels out here are doing an excellent job taking care of their guests.
And tell me what specific steps hotels are taking to get rid of bed bugs.
Well, you know, first, you know, it's a training procedure of your housekeepers to really take a look at when they're making the beds, to take a look at the linens to see if there is any, you know, brown spots or red spots that could, you know, see that there were bed bugs there that had applied their trade on the people staying there. They also look at the mattresses and look in the crevices and look in, you know, the areas on the furniture, look behind picture frames, just to make sure from a, you know, a surface view. If they learn that there is a bed bug in that room, they immediately call in an exterminator. You know, somebody that does this for a living. I heard earlier when they talked about increasing the heat in the room, and there are companies that do that, and there are other ways that companies can eradicate the bed bugs, and you need to really bring a professional in to do it.
Joseph McInerney, he's president and CEO of the American Hotel and Lodging Association. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you, Diane. I greatly appreciate it.
Thank you. Missy, let me turn back to you. What can we as travelers do to avoid getting bed bugs at hotels?
The most important thing to do when you're traveling is to be educated, know what you're looking for, know what steps you should take so that you can therefore be vigilant. So when you are checking into a hotel room, we always encourage travelers to look at their bed. That involves pulling back the bed linens, looking around the seams of the bed, around the headboard, around the dust ruffle for any bed bugs that you may see. Again, they're small, brown, kind of appleseed-like looking bugs. So you would be looking for those. The other things that you could see possibly on the mattress cover would be any small droplets of blood, which would be remnants of that bug having fed on an individual who was sleeping in that bed. Or you may see pepper-like flakes, and those would be the droppings from the bed bugs. Those would be some things we would recommend. Also looking around the soft good areas of your room, around the baseboards. And then when returning home, because again, remember, bed bugs are hitchhiking pests. They can travel in suitcases. Their eggs are very sticky, so they can kind of cling on to those suitcases. So when you get home, we always recommend that you take out all garments that have been in your suitcase with you. Wash everything in hot water. We just spoke about the heat. Bed bugs cannot withstand temperatures of greater than 113 degrees Fahrenheit. So take everything out of your suitcase, even if you haven't worn it. Stick it in the washing machine on the hot cycle and in the hot dryer. And anything that's been with you can certainly, you can eliminate any bed bugs that may have come home on your clothes. Also, if you are concerned, you can then take a vacuum and use the hose attachment and just try to vacuum out anything that may be in there if you have cause for concern.
Missy Hendrickson, she's Vice President for Public Affairs at the National Pest Management Association, and you're listening to the Diane Rehm Show. Dr. Miller, you were shaking your head as Missy was talking.
Well, I want to clear something up. When you'll see this a lot on the internet, and people will call me periodically talking about seeing blood spots in their bed. And when they are seeing blood spots, and I've even asked, we did a training program where we did 5 days in a row, and I asked people in the room, what color are blood spots? And everybody says red. And what we're actually talking about as far as bed bug droppings is the blood that has passed through their gut and it's now black. So we're actually looking for black spots.
Huh.
And they're kind of smooth. They can look like they're actually getting into the sheets and sort of dissipating like a drop of black paint possibly, but sometimes they can be raised as well. And I guess what Missy is talking about with the flaky materials, usually the shed skins of bed bugs, you know, they have to shed their skin in order to grow a number of times. And so we have these sort of little dusty shed skins that might be looking like little tiny potato chips where the bed bugs are hanging out and clustering together in cracks and crevices. So I just want to be clear that when you're looking for what we would call blood spots, they're not red, they're black.
We've had some environmental concerns about some of the treatments expressed by the EPA, specifically pesticides.
Mm-hmm. Well, one of the things that we've learned when we first started doing bed bug treatments here in the United States with this new resurgence is most of our pest control companies individuals were so young, they had never dealt with bed bugs before. And so we sort of treated them the way that we had treated cockroaches years ago. It was sort of insecticide heavy, a lot of baseboard crack and crevice treatment. And what we're finding out now is that bed bugs are so resistant to many of these insecticides that we really have to use more non-chemical methods, the clutter reduction, encasing mattresses, vacuuming, steam, heat, all those things that we've sort of touched on a little bit already. Certainly, we don't want to put more insecticides into somebody's living space.
Right.
then we absolutely have to. And right now, we're really seeing that we will really need less insecticide and using some more benign type approaches, like using diatomaceous earth, which is a desiccant dust, rather than using a lot of the insecticides that we have that may not be functioning so well. So we're using about half as much as I would say that we used 2 years ago.
Dr. Borelli, have you seen infants with bed bug bites?
Well, that would be tough to answer simply because I've seen infants with arthropod bites, as we've mentioned earlier. And to really come up with a diagnosis and say that's as a result of a bed bug, they would need to bring in something, as we talked about, the bug or some other indication.
What do you do to treat them?
Usually the treatments are just symptomatic, since we're not really worried about systemic illness or human illness. So people itch for the most part, and so we treat them with agents that are going to control the itching with topical steroids, topical cortisones. If people are itching a great deal, we can give them oral antihistamines or even prednisone.
But then if they continue to get them,
they're going to continue to have the symptoms.
Dr. Paula Borelli, she's at Georgetown University as professor of dermatology. Short break, and we'll be right back.
National broadcast of The Diane Rehm Show is made possible in part by the John S. and James L. Knight Foundation, helping NPR advance journalistic excellence in the digital age, by the John D. and Catherine T. MacArthur Foundation, committed to building a more just, verdant, and peaceful world. More information at macfound.org. And by the William and Flora Hewlett Foundation, making grants to solve social and environmental problems at home and around the world, on the web at hewlett.org. This is NPR.
Our every move on the internet is being tracked. Information about our age, what we shop for, is being gathered and exploited. On the next Fresh Air, we talk with Julia Angwin of The Wall Street Journal.
The data about your behavior online is being sold at auction on a real-time Wall Street sort of automated trading floor.
Join us.
And we're back talking in this hour about the bed bug infestation, which unfortunately is happening not only in this country but around the world, which means that traveling can simply take a bed bug infestation from one suitcase to one hotel room to one home to one apartment. They really are giving us a problem. And somebody who's had a problem is in Leesburg, Virginia. Good morning, Robin. You're on the air.
Hi, Diane. How are you?
I'm good, thanks.
Well, I just had to call as soon as I heard the topic because we had an awful experience last year with bed bugs, and it took us almost a year to get rid of them. And there's two comments I'd like to make. One is my daughter, who ended up getting the bites. We went to the doctor, went to the dermatologist, went to the allergist, and not one of them brought up the possibility of bed bugs, which what it ultimately was. So I think we need to let those people know that this is a possibility so they can kind of let us know sooner if they
can. Good point.
Yes, and the other thing is, we believe that my older daughter got it from college, from her dorm, and it was my first kid going to college, and you didn't even think about it. And I don't know, you know, now I heard friends saying, oh, yeah, we sprayed a whole thing on the mattress. I think it's worth the investment, and they are quite expensive to get the bed bug proof. Mattress covers. Now that all the kids are going back to college, and I have to tell your guest, I'm sorry now that my second one picked JMU over Virginia Tech, because I wish they had. I don't know that they don't have bed bug treatments there, but people whose kids are going to college now, let them know those dormitory mattresses, you know, they're just used for years and years.
Dr. Mittler.
Well,
I just wanted to bring that up.
Well, I wanted to address the thing about mattresses. Remember, bed bugs they're not interested in mattresses particularly at all. We can get bed bugs in the room, and then they will get into all cracks and crevices. What they're interested in is the person. And I just want to make that clear, because a lot of people have asked me, what kind of mattress can you get? Is there something about the mattress that you can do that will keep the bed bugs off? But they really don't care about that. They're going to be attracted to the people. So our issue is really more, is the room infested? And in many cases, we'll see people get rid of their mattress only to bring a new mattress in and still have bed bugs in the room, and now the new mattress gets infested. So that's the purpose of these encasements, is to keep you from having to throw the mattresses away over and over. And mainly the box springs is our problem. Box springs, favorite hangout of bed bugs,
really?
Very, very difficult for pest control operators to treat. It's very complicated in there. You get loads of bed bugs in there. If you can only afford one mattress encasement, make sure you get a good one, and it's got to go over those box springs. And that just keeps you from having to throw the mattress out.
Go ahead, Dr.
Yeah, I just wanted to make a comment also about just the clinical presentation and how come it can be difficult sometimes for doctors to pick up on that. The presentation may be very similar to other arthropod bites, and so you have to ask, you know, the second layer of questions. Is anyone else in the house being bitten? Do you sleep alone? Is that person being bitten? That's not 100% clear either, because, as I mentioned, not everybody reacts to the bites, but those would certainly be helpful questions to ask. And also, mosquito bites tend to affect areas that are exposed. Bed bugs can affect any part of your body if they're in your bed. So if you're seeing a lot of bites, you know, particularly, you know, rows of threes, as we mentioned, there's even sometimes a little punctum, which is a dark spot right in the center. The bites can be red in nature, they can be hive-like, or they can even be blister-like. Those are more classic of bed bug bites, but other bites can do that as well.
There's some blood types to which bed bugs are more attracted than others. My husband and I can be outdoors. Mosquitoes or gnats will come totally to me and ignore him. Now,
why
is that the same
because
thing?
Because you're sweeter, first of all. I can tell just by meeting you. But the reality is that he may be getting bitten. He just may not be sensitive to the bite.
Oh, I see.
And that's very true of flea bites as well. So there are some people who are lucky, they don't get bitten as often, or there are others who get bitten and they don't react to the bite.
And speaking of fleas, what about pets? What about dogs and cats in the home? Are they also susceptible, Dr. Mittler?
Well, we've certainly seen in areas where you have heavy infestations that bed bugs will be on pets. And they'll feed on the pets. They don't do well in pet hair. You know, you think fleas are flattened from side to side, and so they're sort of designed to go through the pet's hair and be able to feed there. Bed bugs are flattened from top to bottom, so it's very difficult for them to do with hair, so they usually feed around the nose or the ears or the back end of the pet where there isn't so much hair. But typically they prefer to feed on the human. But if the infestation is very, very heavy, is where we'll see that the pets are being fed on as well.
All right, here's a message from Facebook for Dr. Borelli. It's from Ryan, who says, are we as Americans perhaps keeping ourselves too clean, which may remove natural oils from our bodies, which might reduce our tolerance to these little critters?
It's an interesting question. I don't think that your cleanliness is going to serve you poorly in any way. I think that that's not the issue. I think that there's some people, again, their innate immunity is different. And those who are sensitive to bed bug bites are going to have a lot of reaction. Those who are not going to have a reaction.
And here's an email from Yvonne, who says, when my daughter and I were traveling in Bali we discovered our mattress was infested with bedbugs. The innkeeper handled the problem by putting the mattress in the sun for a day and promised us a free stay if we were bitten again. The sun treatment worked. We had no more problems with bedbugs, Dr. Miller.
Well, that's interesting. I'm going to Bali in October. I'll be looking for some bedbugs there. I'm there to talk about bedbugs.
Oh, so really?
That will work.
That's a nice place to go bedbugs.
Well, I hear about putting mattresses in the sun from a lot of people in different nations, too. That is a typical treatment. One of the things that we have, one of the issues we have here in the United States is we have a lot of different ethnic groups that deal with bedbugs differently than our normal freaking out American. And I talked to some engineering students that were at Virginia Tech, and they said, oh, yeah, you know, you don't bother your management about these guys. You just take your mattress out and put it out in the sun for a day. Now, the problem we have here in the U.S. is you take your mattress out and put it out in the sun, somebody's going to take that mattress into their house and call it theirs. One of the other issues, though, is we can't guarantee because of our climate that that will get rid of all of the bedbugs. And bedbug eggs are cemented to the surface. You may be able to get rid of some of the adults, the immatures. I would think that they would crawl down and get underneath the mattress, whatever side it's laying on. And it would certainly work maybe during the hottest heat of the summer, but not during the winter. But you'd still be carrying any eggs right back into the house. I wouldn't rely on that method.
Missy, any comments from you?
Yeah, I think I agree with what Dr. Miller was just talking about. You may have the opportunity to get rid of them from the mattress if all the stars are in alignment and the temperature is nice and warm outside. But I would be concerned about anything that may have crawled off in moving that mattress outside. Oftentimes when professionals are working with a family and treating a unit or a home, they will wrap that mattress before removing it from the home or before treating it or moving it into a different room. So I would be concerned about moving it out properly without some others crawling out along the way.
All right. To Euclid, Ohio. Good morning, Danielle.
Good morning, Diane. Boy, this is a subject close to my heart because 2 years ago I ended up homeless in the middle of winter over this. Now, I tried every to get the landlord every possible way to deal with this. And finally, I had to put my rent in escrow. There were two ways I found out that would work. And one you haven't mentioned. You mentioned the heat. Another is freezing. And we finally got, I forced him to get a company in there that did that. However, I left anyway because I was so traumatized by then. I didn't want to take a chance. But I had a question. What about hospitals, nursing homes, and places where these more effective treatments are cost prohibitive?
Thanks for calling, Dr. Miller. You know, nursing homes,
yes,
for example.
Well, we've got some real issues in a lot of facilities where you're taking care of many people, and the cost does get prohibitive at some point. And let me just talk about apartments for a moment. We're seeing in Virginia apartment complexes paying $100,000 a year for pest control, and they're 90% infested. So you have to ask, okay, what did that $100,000 pay for? And so we've got some serious problems that we're looking at, especially if you've got an apartment complex that's 1,200 units. You can imagine in a nursing home what the cost might be when you have the potential for people coming in and out daily to be bringing bedbugs in every day. Same thing for homeless shelters that usually don't have a lot of money. And there was a woman brought up to me who ran a shelter. She said that they had heard of shelters closing because of bedbugs. Well, you close them, you get rid of the bedbugs. The next day, bedbugs could be brought back in.
Oh.
So we're going to have to look at a sort of long-term kind of inspection maintenance program. We're going to have to accept that bedbugs are for now part of our society. And I would encourage all facilities, rest homes, hospitals, or whatever, to have some sort of plan, prevention plan in place that involves inspecting for bedbugs or looking for bedbugs all the time. Because the cost of eradication is very prohibitive for many industries, including the pest control industry in some
cases. How does a prevention control plan work?
Well, what you would have to do, early detection is key. Once the bed bugs get so numerous that you don't have a chance of finding them all. It's really, really difficult. But let's say I was running a hotel that had 600 employees. I would train every employee in there what bed bugs look like and what to look for so that I would have that many more eyes looking for them. And remember, in situations like hotels and also rest homes, it's not just the patients or their families that could be bringing them in, but also the employees as well. So is there a way for employees to report bed bugs they might see that might be connected with other employees, some other anonymous way, so that everybody can be watching? So that's what prevention is going to look like in the future, is
Dr.
watching.
Dr. Borelli.
Yeah, it's interesting because when you speak of nursing homes and hospitals, they're mostly comprised of people who are a little bit older. And this can pose a specific challenge in the elderly because the immunity of the skin, similar to the general immunity, is a bit suppressed. So some of the clues that we're looking for, the red itchy bites, may not manifest in the elderly until much later or may not manifest at all. So I would say as you are educating your employees, you also want to educate your staff in the nursing homes and the hospitals what to look for, because presumably they're examining patients regularly, they're changing bed sheets, and that would aid in the early detection because the patient themselves may not be able to identify.
Do we know of situations where bed bugs have turned up in the hospitals, Missy?
Yes, we certainly are finding bed bugs in hospitals for all the reasons that we've mentioned. People are bringing them in, whether they are patients coming in to seek medical care or whether they are employees bringing them in. We're finding that hospitals are starting to develop more proactive and preventative measures. We're also finding that other types of commercial establishments are doing the same. For instance, we've heard a lot lately about some bed bugs in retail locations. We are finding that retailers are developing new preventative and proactive strategies. For instance, they're now looking at their return policy on how clothes are permitted to come back in the store. Maybe the items that are coming back in are sealed or sequestered or put away in bags for a while to make sure that they're not seeing any signs of infestation. They are training their employees in terms of what to look for and developing proactive monitoring plans working with their professionals. So I think we're going to start to see a change in the way a lot of commercial establishments are doing business.
All right, and you're listening to the Diane Rehm Show. To Al, who's in San Antonio, Texas, good morning, you're on the air.
Good morning. Two issues. There is the possibility of transmitting disease, specifically spirochetal disease, specifically Lyme disease, via the bed bug. And the second issue has to do with why some people, Diane, are bitten and other people aren't. I think a lot of that has to do with the chemical content of their perspiration, which can act as a natural repellent, specifically vitamin B1.
What about Lyme disease, Doctor? Borelli.
I'm not aware of Lyme disease being transmitted. I'd be interested in hearing the quotation from that article. I am aware of components of hepatitis B virus being identified in isolated bug bugs, but since that virus is not able to replicate within the bed bug, there have not been any reported human illnesses as a result of bed bug bites that I'm aware of.
Al, tell me about your source for the connection between Lyme disease and bed bugs.
Well, there are case reports. There are case reports. If you go to Google and Google it, you'll find them on the Internet.
Well,
and you can go to PubMed.
But is there verification via medical verification?
Yes. Yes. And if you go to PubMed and put in bed bugs and Lyme disease, you'll find some articles.
That's very interesting. Well, I'll certainly be
we'll on be
the
sure lookout. To look that up.
Yeah, I should say. And
you know, one thing that hasn't really been addressed, we've talked a little bit about the transmission of disease or not. I know the Journal of American, the JAMA study did indicate that there is no disease transmission. But one thing we've not really talked a lot about is the mental health issues that do come from those who are impacted by bed bugs. We hear tremendous reports, and I think two of your callers have alluded to the sleepless nights they've had. People do become sleepless. They have a lot of anxiety. We really hear tales of people just becoming really at their wit's end, on their brink of holding on to their sanity for a while, because they can take so long to properly eliminate. And they just have this fear factor. They have concerns of social isolation for them or against their children by their peers. Mm. So that is really something we're starting to hear more and more about from those who have been affected by bed bugs.
Dr. Borelli.
Yeah, I think the most important treatment option for people, obviously, is eradicating the bed bug. But I want to remind people that if you've not been treated by someone who can at least help them with their symptoms, we do a reasonable job, I would say a very good job, of managing symptoms so that people should not be sleepless because they're itching. They may be sleepless because they're anxious, and even that can be managed.
And finally, Dr. Miller, are there any chemicals which individuals can use, or do you simply have to call in professionals?
Well, there are things that you can do for yourself, but I would never try and cure a bedbug problem on my own, even knowing as much as I know about bedbugs, maybe because I know as much about bedbugs. But what one product that seems to be fairly effective is diatomaceous earth. Okay, now it's important to understand diatomaceous earth. What it does is it's a desiccant dust. It gets on the outside of the bed bug and it absorbs their wax layer so that they will dry out. Very benign, but you could use it yourself.
And we'll have to look more into that, Dr. Deanie Miller. She's at Virginia Tech. Dr. Paula Borelli is at Georgetown University. Ms. E. Hendrickson is at the National Pest Management Association. Thank you all so much. And thanks for listening. I'm Diane Rehm.